Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You guys hear me okay? You guys can hear me, all right? All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. All right. You win. Absolutely. Thank you for coming here today. It's good to see everybody. I'm going to invite everybody to stand, and we're going to sing some songs together and just worship the Lord this morning. It's always great, you know, to worship corporately together. We only get to do this one time a week. Hopefully you guys are worshiping individually in your car or wherever, just on your own throughout the week, because our hearts get quenched when we worship. Amen?
Your name calling out to you.
Have you ever felt the Lord just pour out some blessing on you? I don't know if he sprinkles it sometimes. I don't know if he pours it out. Sometimes you can feel like it's being poured out. And it surprises me when that happens. You know, the blessings come, and you're so surprised and so happy that the Lord is actually on your side with you, and he reminds you, yeah, I am here with you today. Good, good Father.
Thank you. do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you. To do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to.
Father God, we surrender everything. There's too much in our life. There's too much impact from situations, from circumstances. And it just draws us further and further away from you. We don't want that. We want to be close. We want to be held in your hands. Close to your heart. Hold us close to your heart. Help us to surrender. I pray for our congregation. I pray for our service. A surrendering kind of service. We give it all to you, Father God. And we love you, and we thank you, and we honor you today. And all God's people said, amen. Go ahead and have a seat.
In your meaningful connections, conversations, Again, I want to welcome you this morning. My name is Matthew Hooper. I'm one of the elders here, and periodically I preach here at Grace, and I'm just grateful to be here with you all this morning. And actually, I want to let you know that I begged Andrea, who's our administrator in the office, if I could do announcements again, because I'm trying to practice so I can get as good, maybe better than Sheila. Because, so we'll see. That's near impossible, I know, but all things are possible with the Lord, right? And practice. So thank you, Andrea, for helping me out here. So I want to welcome you here this morning. If you're here and you're new, if you'd like us to reach out to you beyond just you being here today and us connecting you with you here today, there's a connect card in some of the backs of the seats you can see. If you'd like to fill that up, turn it in for a little gift. In the lobby after service today. We want to just bless you. We're glad you're here. We welcome you if you're new, in Jesus' name. And we pray that you're blessed by being here with us today. So I wanted to ask you all, if you could raise your hand, if you believe that God is a relational God. Could you? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Yes, he is, in fact, relationship, loving relationships at the center of who God is and our connection with him. And so do you also believe, like, flowing out of who God is, like, God made us to connect with one another, especially in the body of Christ? Do you believe that? Yes. Yeah. Okay. So this is why we are inviting and encouraging, maybe even challenging you to really think about being a part of a growth group. God's a relational God. He made us to connect with one another. We really want to ask you to seriously consider leaning into one of our groups. There's a sign-up sheet right in the back. The bottom line is, it's more likely, and I would say it is the case, that you will not grow and develop as much as you could if you weren't connected in a deeper way beyond just our gatherings here to the body of Christ. Now, that doesn't have to be growth groups, right? It can be a whole bunch of different ways. Bible studies, just connecting with one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. But we want to, this is our way here at Grace, to be really intentional to build connections with one another. So please, would you consider participating? There's signups in the backs. We're starting a new group of groups this fall. And so I just want to encourage you, if you want to more deeply connect with those in the body of Christ here, that's a great way and a structured way for you to do that. And so I want to encourage you to really consider signing up. And so also, involvement here at Grace, there's a whole bunch of opportunities to serve. Coming up this month, later this month, is our fall festival. How many of you, just raise your hand if you've served in the fall festival before? Yeah, many, many, many hands. It's a great time, a great day. Halloween, there's basically a parade, and kids dress up in downtown Jackson. We take over the El Dorado Savings parking lot. We have booze and games and popcorn and hot chocolate and coffee and, of course, candy. Did I say candy last week? I think I did say candy, yeah, right? We need candy, 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 candy canes, candy, whatever kind of candy. Maybe not candy canes, that's Christmas. We'll get that. Yeah, but all other kinds of candy are welcome. But our main purpose really is to just be the light of Christ there. So just by showing up there, we're the light of Christ and blessing people. And so we want to do that and kind of cast light into... Often, you know, Halloween's a kind of a darker day, though there's a lot of fun in it too, and dressing up and such. But we want to just cast the light of Christ. So we'd love for you to participate if you're interested. You can bring candy. Right back there's a table you can sign up for and volunteer. We'd love to have you participate. Also, coming up in beginning of November is we're going to have another time to do baptisms. So if you would like to be baptized here at Grace as just an external expression of your internal commitment to the Lord, we want to give you an opportunity to do that here at Grace. Now, I want to let you know that if you get baptized, it's not going to, like, make things like the Niners win. Jaron was like, come on, hope, go Niners last year. He was like, I'm going to get baptized and the Niners are going to win. That didn't happen, right, Jaron? Sorry, bud. But... I know for sure by doing that simple thing, if you haven't, it's a very, very clear way of saying, I am a follower of Jesus. I believe in who he is and what he's done for me in giving his life on the cross to pay for my sin. And thank him for that love, and I'm expressing my commitment. If you'd like to do that, come, please talk to me, Pastor Mark. Those baptisms are coming in the beginning or the first part of November. Okay? Last but not least, as always, your generosity is so appreciated here. So there's a few ways to give. There's a QR code on the back of this bulletin/program, and there's a lot of great information in here, but right here, if you'd like to give, you can there. There's a box in the back. There's our giving page online. We want to encourage you to keep giving as you are, just to keep the lights on, keep our staff well taken care of. And your generosity matters, whether you've been here 20, 30 years or 2 weeks. So thank you for your giving. Let me say a prayer as we continue in our service. And the last thing I was going to say really quick is just simply, your personality serves God's purpose. I was thinking, like, does my personality serve God's purpose? I know Sheila's does. She's such a bright light. But I'm looking forward to hearing from Pastor Mark today along those lines. So let's pray as we continue in our service. So, Lord, thank you so much for today. As real as the seats beneath us, the people right next to us, is your presence. Increase our faith, Lord, that today, right now, you are here through your Spirit, and that you want to speak to each of us as we surrender our hearts to you today. And so, Lord, would you help us? Would you open our hearts to you today throughout the rest of this service? We commit it to you for your good purposes in our lives, individually, but also as a fellowship. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Bless Pastor Mark and the continuation of this service today. In Jesus' name.
Can we stand one more time?
Trust in thee.
surrender all, just the congregation. Here we go. I
surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Thank you. If you can remain standing for the reading of the word this morning. Steve Loward, I think, is there. He is. He's coming on up.
Good morning. Today's message comes from Psalm 139, verse 13 through 17. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. This concludes the reading of the word.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Steve. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome you this morning. If you're visiting today, I particularly want to welcome you. My name is Mark. I am the lead pastor here at Grace. I have the privilege of giving the message this morning. Something I look forward to every single week. However, next Sunday, I'm not going to be here. Why? Because I'm going to be recovering. Next Saturday is our youngest daughter's wedding, and this is our final push week to get into that wonderful occasion that hopefully we'll also enjoy. And along with all the work that it leads into it, but kidding aside, I am really looking forward to celebrating Mackenzie's union with her fiance, Kellen. We really enjoy him and welcome him to our family. And speaking of weddings, there's been a lot. In October, I guess, is a wedding month. You know, June is like a big wedding month. October, anybody October anniversaries in our midst? A few. Yeah, October's a good month to be married. We were married in June, the superior month for weddings. But October, there's a lot of you October people. Yesterday, the Parkins celebrated a wedding with their middle son, Matthew, and Alexis. I had the privilege of officiating that yesterday on their property in this beautiful gathering weekend before. I know Dan and Kim Conley celebrated their granddaughter's wedding in a few weeks beyond this. Brian and Sarah Whaling are going to celebrate their son Brian's wedding. A lot of weddings going on, people that we know. So grateful for this season. This morning, we are continuing in our ongoing study of discovering our purpose as God designed us. And I have loved this series thus far, and this is a complex idea that we're taking it, you know, piece by piece by piece in the weeks. Hopefully, if we're doing our homework all along the way, the end goal is that we would discover what our unique purpose is for this season of life. Because I believe our purpose is not singular, that I was born for this purpose. There are several things that about us that are kind of comprise our personality, which we're going to talk about today, that don't change a lot, though we grow and mature and evolve as human beings. But our purpose, I think, evolves right along with us. It changes per season. You know, sometimes my purpose is really known to me in one particular season, that as I grow forward in time and my maturity and so on, my purpose kind of changes as I develop skills that I didn't have 5 years ago, or a life experience that I didn't have 5 years ago. And I think I'm prayerful that in the future, that purpose will evolve again, because I'll enter a different season of life, that God will use me uniquely to add value to the people around me. So whatever season of life we are in, I believe God has a purpose for you. And if we pay attention, we can really understand that and live by design very meaningful and purposeful lives as a result. So as we launch into this, let's stop and just turn to the Lord to help us in this journey. Will you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for this day. We dedicate it to you. We dedicate this message, this idea, this value to you. Open, awaken our minds to what that means to us as individuals and to us collectively as a church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message, we're focusing in on a particular aspect of understanding how God is going to use me in the world, and that is to really get very acquainted with my own personality. Because I believe this is true, that God has made each and every human being to possess a unique combination of personality traits and preferences through which he accomplishes his divine purpose. There is no other person quite like you. We are each uniquely made by God with all kinds of different variations of our life experience, our interests, our values, and so on that make us who we are. And God uniquely uses us in our circle of friends, in our church, our community, our workplace, our families, to contribute and add value. And it makes sense. We don't all want to be the same, right? That's kind of boring. We want to be so diverse and unique because each person brings something to the table. And one verse that I thought about with regard to this is in Ephesians 2:10. For it says this, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This word workmanship is from the Greek word poema, which you might think that sounds like an English word, poem. I love this idea that God is orchestrating and writing creatively this poem that is our life, that adds beauty and meaning and value to the world around us, that he has thought about long before we were even born. That's what connects us to the passage that Steve read, that God has wonderfully and mysteriously knitted us together in our mother's womb, given us a unique sense of traits and abilities and interests and preferences that he is going to use for his glory. I love this thought. So if we think about, you know, the course of our study thus far, just as a matter of review, the idea we're going after is we're trying to discern what is my particular, if I'm so unique, what is my contribution? What is my particular purpose? And there is two statements we have talked about to help guide us in this journey. One is, what am I uniquely wired to enjoy and do? So things that come naturally to me, that I prefer, that I have the ability to do. What is it that makes me me? How am I wired? And then secondly, where or how can I use that particular unique wiring to serve others for God's glory? We attach it to the greater plan of God and his created order of things. Where is my place in this? Where's my value as I contribute to the world around me? And so with this idea, one of the things that we've stated is this idea of, in order to discover my purpose, I must live with purpose. That means that we begin to order our lives in a way that sensitizes us to opportunities around us, that we kind of figure out, what is it about me that is something worthwhile to contribute? What are the opportunities that are in my life right now? And I'm paying attention to that. And that is, we think of a purpose as a broad thing, but it can be very specific to the day-to-day choices we make. What small choices am I making today that puts me in a position to understand my contribution to the world around me? for God's glory. So we wake up each day and say, anybody doing that where you're saying, okay, God, how are you going to use me today? Open my mind to understand a little bit more about who I am and how I can contribute to a need right in front of me. Anybody exercising this on the day-to-day? That's the hope, right? So for me, I'll just give you an example. I've prayed this prayer every day. Lord, whatever opportunities are in front of me, help me to be sensitive to whether or not, you know, you're going to use me in some unique way to contribute to that. And I joked about it last week that at one point I wanted to be more assertive with my life some years ago. And it's like, whenever I see a need, I'm just going to act. I'm going to act on it. And I said, in a month's time, I changed 3 tires, you know, on the side of a road. I never thought so many people had flat tires, but I had a skill and I used it 3 times that month. It was amazing. I had to take more time in my schedule to get from point A to point B, because invariably I thought I was going to encounter somebody on the side of the road. And so with the question I'm asking now is like, God, help me be sensitive to the need around me and help me to pause. I am so task-oriented. I have a goal. I'm mission-oriented, right? So when I go into a grocery store, anybody like this, where I have already mapped out in my mind the products I need, I know exactly where they are, and I have even thought about what is the most efficient way I can get through this store and out, having accomplished my goal. And if I run into somebody I know, that hinders my goal. You know, and if you live in a small town like us, right, so that's pretty high odds. You're going to run into somebody you know, and you're going to get caught in some conversation. It's like, oh, I'm not getting my goal done. I'm not being very efficient here. And so have you ever been anybody guilty if you're going down an aisle, like, whoa, there's someone who likes to talk. Oh, you know, it is not efficient to go down to that aisle right now. Anybody relate to that? So I was, okay, I know that about me. I need to kind of turn that down a little bit. It's good to be efficient, good to be goal-oriented, but you know, at what expense, right? I want to be open to God, what you have for me. So I've been trying to expand this. So I kid you not, I have had so many counseling sessions in aisle 11 of said store, whatever it is, you know, and it's my nature. My nature is I don't like small talk. I'm not good at it, you know, my personality type and so on. So I just gravitate toward what I think are really meaningful questions and trying to understand someone and where they're at. And by the end of a conversation, I run into such deep water and people are saying things, you know what? I've never told anybody that in my life. You know, why am I telling you this in aisle 11, you know? And I'm like, I don't know what to do with this information, you know, but that's the kind of questions I ask. And so, I was on a bike ride this week. And I didn't have a lot of time to get this done, and I was trying to, you know, navigate my way through the roads and I got to get my exercise done so I can get on to the next thing. And I came on Taboo Road. Anybody live on Taboo Road? You know how hard it is to get through Taboo Road right now with all the construction that's going on. I immediately sent a prayer out that when I hit Taboo Road to everybody who lives on that road, because you have to add in a lot of time to get in and out of there. Well, no different on a bicycle. I get in there, the first guy, the flag guy says, oh, you're on a bike, you can get right through. And I'm like, great, he sends me on through. Second stop, there's lots of stops if you live on Taboo Road that are doing construction simultaneously. Doesn't seem like an efficient planning to me for those who live there. But on a bicycle, I thought, oh, great, they're just going to send me through. Well, that was just the first person. The second person says, no, you're going to wait here 15 minutes while we're doing a little work on the road here. And so here I am on a bike, and here's the guy holding the stop sign. All of a sudden, in 15 minutes' time, I know that this guy's name is. He's going through a separation. He has a 5-year-old girl, and he's concerned about this and that. And I'm trying to give him, you know, comforting words and validation and, you know, ask good questions and so on. It's like, how did I find myself here? I just wanted to go on a bike ride. When you are looking for opportunity and you're just being who you are, I tend to ask questions that call out deeper things, and just how God used me in those moments. And I have to say, God, thank you. I want to be obedient to these opportunities. So in order to find out and understand my purpose, I have to live with purpose. And when we do that, we ask, you know, we set up our days to be sensitive to these things, and how are you going to connect me with the opportunities around me? And I want to be open to this. God will open those opportunities. It is amazing. And so I just want to keep affirming this idea. If you really want to feel like you know and understand God's purpose, you have to live your life with intentionality, with purpose, and be ready. Because I have certain ways about me that if I just go to my defaults are easy and they feel safe to me, but I also have values that sometimes have to override some of those easy paths that help me to see what my greater purpose is. So as we tie this into personality, this is kind of the road we get to navigate to understand ourselves better and how we fit in, how we make our way in the world, which I love. So when we think about personality, and you just go to the dictionary, it's going to say something like this. It is the complex of characteristics that distinguishes an individual, the totality of an individual's behavior and emotional characteristics. That's kind of the simple thing. So it's what makes you you, your behavior, your characteristics, your traits, and so on. Probably a little bit more nuanced and robust definition comes from the American Psychological Association, which says this. Personality refers to the enduring characteristics, so those consistent characteristics over time, and behavior that comprise a person's unique adjustment to life. All right, this is where we tie in seasons of life and growth and maturity, including major traits, interests, drives, values, self-concept, understanding who you are, abilities, and emotional patterns. So we can unpack this all day long, right? Or for a long period of time. It's a very robust definition. But we're going to try to do it in a short time this morning, in a way that I think is helpful, that reflects how God intends for us to understand our place in the world and our relationship to Him. So, a couple of arguments as we think about personality. One is the nature versus nurture argument. Is personality something I'm born with, or is it something that develops over time and it really is impacted by my environment and my relationships, the house I grew up in, the country I got born into, the culture, the sociological pluses and minuses of my people that are around me, that shape me? Well, the answer is yes. It's both. We are born with a specific set of traits that are broad, that we can identify at a very young age. Some psychologists call this the Big Five personality traits, like openness, extroversion, conscientiousness, neuroticism, agreeableness. Those are the Big Five. And if you use it as an acrostic, it spells canoe or ocean. Both same letters, different words. Wait, if you remember that. You can study more about that, but those are the things that we're born into. Another word that's used to describe this innate thing that's nature-oriented is temperament. You get these words like, have you heard these words, phlegmatic, melancholy? I can't remember them. There's four of those. And I don't like those words because I have no idea. There's specific definitions, but they're not words I use every day, so it's harder for me to attach to those. These are the idea of how we are born and how we kind of interact with our world at a very young age that seems to be innate. So take, for instance, extroversion versus introversion, right? So do I gain energy when I'm around people, or do I prefer to be with smaller groups or one-on-one, or even prefer solitude? That's really what energizes me. And it's not when we talk about these personality traits, it's not an either-or proposition. It's like, well, I'm introverted, so therefore I'm in this box that you think of when an introvert, when you think of an introvert, or I'm an extrovert, so therefore I'm way over here. It's really a spectrum that we kind of gravitate toward, where we have preferences and where it feels very natural, but over time we learn and mature and grow. Even someone who is very shy growing up, that's me, by the way. My nickname as a little kid was Smiley. I had this nervous response of, even when I was in trouble, of smiling. I just couldn't stop smiling, and there was something something bad happening or whatever, because it was just this nervousness, and I was so shy about the world around me. And I had to develop skills as an adult not to smile when I felt nervous. And as a pastor, you can imagine when you are like giving someone bad news or someone's telling you bad news, something's going on in life, something tragic, and you are like, oh, don't smile. You know, you're nervous. You're feeling these conflicted emotions. And that was my facial response to this. And so that wasn't helping me as an adult. It was just, but it got me out of trouble sometimes as a kid. You know, you deserve a spanking. But I'm like this cute little smiling kid. It's like, oh, I can't smack that guy. It's like, yes. It's developing. You have an innate way about you, but you gravitate and you learn ways of responding that even an introvert can be very extroverted at times. A great example of this is Pastor Matthew. Pastor Matthew up here, you would think by his persona up here doing announcements and so on, and he helps lead our, and he's up on stage when we're doing CAC. He's the fun guy. We did the rafting trip last 2 weeks ago. He was with the pirate ship, right? The rowdy kids, because he knows how to just turn it on and be the fun guy. But did you know that he's an introvert by nature? He's like, what? No. Yes. Yeah. So you could see how you could have your natural inclination, but you're on a spectrum of how that shows up. So all of these, so openness has the idea of, you know, do I like new things? I'm open to new foods, new experiences, new and varying creative ways of seeing how I can accomplish this differently and so on. Or maybe I'm low in the openness realm where I'm like, no, I like my routines. If I figure out something that works for me, why change it? You know, and that changes over time. Sometimes when we're young, we're like really open to things, and as we grow older, we kind of get set in our ways. So again, it's a sliding spectrum. So that when we think about seasons of life, we take that into account. A young person's like, well, I'm going to try on all kinds of roles and responsibilities and identities. Am I an athlete? Am I a scholar? Am I, you know, the funny person? Am I, you know, who am I? We're trying all these things on as young people. Then we kind of gravitate into, I know who I am. I don't have to be those other things. I can at times when the situation allows, but I know me. That's kind of where we're headed. These are the things we're describing when we think about nature versus nurture. There are things that are innate about us, and there are things that are influenced by our environment that we adapt and grow and mature. Another example, I joke at times that I have ADD. It's not a joke, it's real. It made it so I barely passed high school. I flunked out of college classes more than once, and that's an expensive mistake. And I had to grow in my maturity of life to figure out how I could possibly stay focused for an entire semester on one particular subject that I didn't particularly like. I had to grow in my maturity to overcome that thing that I was born into, right? I have trouble concentrating even in conversations. I had to be, as a mature adult, physically or inside my head, say, focus. When someone's telling me a story, when they're describing, it's like, my mind, I have these thoughts that come in and my mind goes that way. As a kid, it was unbridled. I was a daydreamer. My teachers, Mark is a daydreamer. Common on my elementary year schools. I was physically present, but mentally absent. And my mind was in this wonderful, beautiful world of fantasy and other thoughts. But as an adult, that doesn't serve you well. When your wife is talking to you, telling you something really important, and you're nodding and you're smiling, and then there's a pause in the conversation, and you're like, you asked me a question, didn't you? I don't know what you just said. We tend to joke about it now. We're very understanding, but it's a part of my brain that I've had to develop. There's something I was just born into, but I have to develop skills because it doesn't serve me very well as an adult. So nature versus nurture, it's both. We grow and we change. It's malleable, but there are still things that are just a part of us that we learn to grow and be okay with. The next thing I want to talk about is positive versus negative. There are certain aspects of our personality that we learn in life that are helpful to us, and there are certain aspects that aren't helpful. I've described a couple of them in my own experience, but sociologically, there are character traits that aren't always natural to us, but will get us further in life if we have those traits. We talk about being a part of the created order. Understand it with the creative order things. God creates things a certain way, certain ways to do things. Life is going to go better for you if you are this way. Implying we can change. We can adapt. We can grow. We can learn. We can mature. And so we learn this by positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement in life. Let me give you some examples of what I mean by positive versus negative. So when I'm describing a person's personality, and I use these words, oh, they're adaptable, they're ambitious, they're considerate, cooperative, friendly, gracious, humble, insightful, objective, optimistic, respectful, steady, thorough, well-rounded. Am I describing positive character traits or negative character traits? Positive, but this is describing someone's personality, right? These are parts that we get rewarded if we see that, oh, if I am acting in these ways, life goes better for me. So we learn and grow. It's malleable. Even those character traits that we are born with, like, I need to adapt, I need to grow, I need to learn to have these traits that will help me to navigate life well. But there are certain aspects of them that become more naturally than others. That creates the uniqueness of us. I'm just better at some things than maybe someone down the street is. And they're better at some things than I are. What about these words that describe someone's personality? Arrogant, cold, deceptive, egotistical, guarded, intolerant, judgmental, moody, neglectful, pompous, selfish, unreliable, withdrawn. Are those positive or negative? We tend to think those are negative, but I don't think being withdrawn is a negative characteristic. It just has negative reinforcement at times. So, for instance, relationally, I, for whatever nurture or nature, yes, those are two words I'm on. I am drawn to kind of withdrawing. When I am in a conflicted situation, I need to think about it. I'm not sure what to think about what you're saying or whatever. I tend to withdraw and grow quiet. That is my natural response to the world. Either I learned it or I was born with it, but that's how I respond. However, because it carries a negative connotation in relationships, it's not helpful for intimacy. I have a greater value to be have great transparency and intimacy and deep connection with someone who's close to me, particularly my wife. And so if we are in a disagreement or we say something that's kind of triggering to me and I'm feeling these conflicted emotions, my natural response is to withdraw. But I've learned that though that's a natural, there's nothing wrong with that natural pronation, it doesn't help me. So I have to also learn these traits and skills to say I need to re-engage, to come back and say, you know, what you said felt this way to me. Or, you know, you said this. What did you mean by that? I took it away. I just want to know what you meant by it. You know, I have to re-engage, be present. And I'm learning that part of me because why? That part gets positively reinforced. And so when we think about nature versus nurture, positive and negative, all of these influence are the composite of our character traits, what we like, dislike, and so on. I think we'll pause there for that. So let's keep moving forward and bring God back into the mix, because the scriptures talk about our old nature versus our new nature. The point I want to make with this is that both exist simultaneously according to the scriptures. I am born with a particular propensity toward my own appetites, my own way. I want what I want, and every child is born this way. And we develop as adults ways of looking out for others' interests and so on. Well, God, when we have a relationship with God who created all things and those positive attributes of humility and looking out for others' interests instead of my own, or rejecting pride or saying no to something I want now because it'll enable me to have something better later, he writes that into the created order. And he informs me through the Word of God. But here's something, here's the kicker for us who believe in Jesus Christ. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, the very thing that separates us from Him, our sinful nature, our fallen nature, that is dealt with. It is, our sins are forgiven through Jesus, who has gone to the cross to pay the penalty of permanent separation from God on our behalf. And when we place our faith in Jesus and His finished work, God not just forgives us, but He comes to abide in us, comes to dwell in us, take up permanent residence in us through His Holy Spirit. And so now we get this, what the Bible calls a new nature. The old nature is still there. It still is speaking to us. It's still influencing our behaviors and our ways of thinking. But now we have this whole new nature that, of God Himself coming to dwell in us, that gives us the ability, by the divine nature that exists in us, to choose consistently these behavioral and moral and societal actions and behavior traits that are within God's created order. And so therefore we have this bonus as believers to not only choose the things that are going to be better for us and live a more skillful life, but we have got very the nature of God Himself, who is love, the very nature of God, who is humble, who is loving to the point of sacrificing on behalf of someone else. He has come to dwell in us, and now we get to have these traits of God Himself, of love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, because that aligns with the created order. And we are going to be used for a greater purpose, for His glory, because of it. So is it nature versus nurture? Well, it's both. Is it positive and negative? Both influence our personality, our behaviors, and likes, dis, and likes. Old nature versus new nature, for those who believe in Jesus Christ, we have this new heart that God gives us to choose. He gives us that leg up in living in a way that is with great purpose. We know the plan of God, and we have this ability to live in accordance with that plan. So we have a series of questions I want to end our time with here. These are the ones, you know, it's like, what is my unique purpose? How am I living with purpose? This is the homework assignment part of our, how has God uniquely made you? So you want to ask the question, first of all, what is it that makes me me? What makes me me? Because God's going to use that in a particular way. And helpful when we think about how I navigate the world and what are my natural inclinations and interests and values and so on, which are influenced by belief, I'm going to understand where my starting point is. And are there parts of my personality that I like, ooh, that needs to mature a little bit. That needs to develop. Even though that's natural, that's not helping me. So how am I developing those things? So it starts with understanding who I am. So I would say this as a homework assignment. One thing is just to sit down and start writing it. Writing down, what are the things that really make me feel alive? What are my natural inclinations? If you go look at the big five personality traits. Where do I fit in those categories? And you know, somewhere in between, a combination of both, or I really lean hard toward one. What does that look like for me? Let me just give you a few statements that I wrote down just off the top of my head. I just typed these out really quick without much thought, because they're the things that come to mind when I think about Mark Johnson, what makes me unique. Let me give you some examples to help you think in areas that might be helpful to you. Here's what I stated, just without much thought going into it. I will always be introverted, love the outdoors, enjoy endurance sports, be a teacher, coach, leader. But it doesn't mean I'm going to be the best at any of those things. But I know that about me. I love those things. I enjoy singing and playing guitar. But I'm not a soloist and I'm not a songwriter. I will always be better at one-on-one, deeper conversations than making small talk. Though I've had to really develop my skills in small talk, because that's just how we fit in, right? I easily get overstimulated in noisy environments and large crowds. That will always be true of me. I enjoy introspection, and I'm a bit of a brooder. I have always excelled in singular tasks, but struggled with keeping multiple tabs open in my brain. I am easily distracted both by my environment and the thoughts in my mind. I've mentioned that a moment ago. Let me just give an example of that that came to mind when I wrote this down. Not only just like when I'm trying to concentrate on a concentration or concentrate on a conversation and stay engaged, right? But I just don't remember the day-to-day things sometimes. I can remember complex systems at times. I can remember the phone number and my friend's phone number of my childhood, right? But I can't remember what I did yesterday sometimes, or the really important thing that someone told me. Or we're having a baptism. That was announced. Last year at this time, we held a baptism. And our baptismal sits on this stage, and we fill it with water. I'm here, so I'm going to fill the baptismal. Had some help getting it out here because it's big, but I brought the hose in. I put it in there. I'm like, this is a 500-gallon tank. I'm going to put it in here. I'm going to go do something else. I'll come back and turn the water off. Well, you know where this is heading, right? Important things. I did not recall that I had put that hose in that baptismal until hours later. I came out, and I do not kid you, this entire stage flooded. This entire room flooded. You did not know this because Sunday was the very next day. I was in here on Saturday doing this. I called in a panic, obviously turned the water off, and Oh, let me back up. This is how it actually came to be. It's even worse. I wasn't back in my office doing something. I had left the building. I got a phone call from Andrea. Mark, the whole, worship center is flooded. I'm like, oh, I forgot to turn the water off. And so I'm like, I'm going to get my shop vac, is what I said. I'm at home, I grab my shop vac, I come into the door, I'm like, oh, this is way bigger than a shop vac. I was shocked, right? Big consequences to just what I think is like stupid, I just can't remember really important details. We ended up bringing in ServPro. They came and sucked all the water out. We had all these fans going, and it was a nightmare. But most of you were none the wiser. You just thought, hey, we had a baptism on Sunday. You didn't need to know all that that happened, right? So as I think about it, it's like I am easily distracted both by my environment and the thoughts in my head. I tend to forget day-to-day details but can remember complex systems of information. Sometimes those day-to-day details, which you think, no big deal. It's like sometimes they're a really big deal, both relationally and physical ramifications of things that I honestly, over the years, have destroyed. Been stuck on the side of the road without gas because, I was supposed to stop for gas. Just the way my brain works. So there are some aspects of that, as I describe it. I intentionally included things that are, hey, I'm really good at this, and here are things like, oh man, I am not good at these things, but that's who I am. And I've had to develop over the years abilities, workarounds to make my life at some level of consistently successful, even with those things that are just wired into me, have nothing to do, but I'm growing, learning, adapting to be, because I have values, I want to be purposeful with God, I want to grow and expand and learn. So we create these systems to help us. How do we, what makes me uniquely me? And the next two questions I've already asked, but they're good to be up here. You see them. What aspects of my personality, values, behaviors, abilities are helpful? And what aspects of my personality, values, behaviors, and abilities hold me back? I love this. You're not stuck. Even though you have certain ways that you feel like are very limiting about you, you're not stuck. God wants to use you right where you are. And it's helpful as you think about, God, how am I unique? What's helpful? What's not helpful? How do I need to grow? Jot these things down. And the last one I want to leave us with is this. What do I believe about myself? Because if you're like me, I was driven so much about two things. One, positively, I wanted to be valuable in people's eyes. And I'd pursue all these things to obtain value. And what I really needed to hear as I grew and understood my relationship with God is this: God loves me and made me exactly who I am, and that's okay. I want you to hear that. Number one, God has made you, he's wired you, he loves you right where you are at. And that's so important for me to reinforce in my life every single day. Because number two, what I'm driven by is shame. Shame influences me every single day. Shame is the idea of if you do something wrong and you feel guilty, it means, yeah, that was a behavior that I needed to correct, all right? It wasn't very helpful. That's guilt. Shame is I did something wrong or made a mistake and, oh, I'm a terrible person. You always get that wrong. You'll never be X, Y, or Z. I have such a strong, obnoxious self-critic in my own head telling me I will never be enough and I will never amount to, God will always be disappointed in me. I had to address that, and I continue to every single day speak truth to that obnoxious inner critic and those shame words that so easily start playing a reel in my head. First of all, it helped that I became aware of it. I just thought everybody thought this way. I thought this message was in everybody's head. It was helpful for me to identify it as a message in my head that is separate, had to differentiate between that and truth and how God feels about me. That I'm forgiven. That yes, I behaviorally can make mistakes and do things that are frustrating or hurtful or forget something that affects other people negatively and oh, I feel terrible about that. But I am loved by God and I know who I am. I'm accepted by him. I'm forgiven by him. And even though I make mistakes and let people down, I can go to them and just say, I'm sorry. I'll try to change that behavior. But I resist that message of shame in me. So when you ask this question, what do I believe about myself? I want you to know God loves you. He wired you just the way you are, even with those things that are irritating to you and sometimes irritating to other people. And he wants to enable you to navigate life by learning, growing, adapting so that you can continually be used by him for his glory. And we need to be accepting of that. There's a whole other message I wanted to preach on how comparison is the thief of joy, because everybody else seems to always be more gifted and they don't struggle with the things I struggle with. Leave that alone. Understand, God loves you, he's wired you, and that's good. It's a good thing. And it's okay that we have limitations. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite us to stand as we sing this final song. It's an old song that I love, and in fact, I'm going to lead it myself because it was so personal to me, and I hope that you are okay with this. Well, I forgot my music. This is a song written lots of years ago that has become so meaningful in so many ways to me. And reflect, if we think, circle back to that original passage that Steve read, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God himself. And he has prepared these works for me. I am his workmanship, his poem, to do good works that he has prepared in advance for me. Let's embrace those realities as we sing this song.
He knows my
Father God, we are so grateful for your love toward us. God, in our highs and our lows, the things that are so wonderful to us that we get to enjoy, and those things, those limits, God, that tend to irritate us or make us feel less than, God, we first of all root ourselves in your faithfulness, your love, which goes beyond all understanding. And in that secure place, God, we long to live in a way that reflects who we are to the world around us, the way you've created us to do the things that you've called us to. God, help us to live with purpose. Help us to understand who we are, be accepted of that, so we can use those traits for your glory. God, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Grace and peace to you today.